When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to In Conversation, a Dublab podcast where each week we will bring you interviews from the Dublab Radio Archives.
This is Dublab, feedback and all, right here, live. Just heard a live set from Andy Hughes. He was out the kind of main floor area of Dublab, playing several songs. And I've got Andy here in the studio. How you doing, man?
All right, good, thanks.
Cool. Well, I definitely appreciate you coming down and playing. It's fantastic.
Nice, big pressure.
So you've been in the States here for a couple of weeks now, playing some shows and stuff.
Yeah, just various clubs and places, and restaurants, bar mitzvahs, weddings.
You know. There you go. Nice. Yeah. Hey, taking requests, doing old party themes, you know.
Yeah, as long as it's what I've got.
Yeah, some old standards. Do you sing as well while you play?
I need a bow.
Yeah, you need a microphone set up and a little tip jar or something, you know.
Yeah.
Nice. So you've been out here before, though, of course, several times. And played, so cool. So tell everybody, kind of how you got started. You've looking at a list of the music you've engineered, produced, written. It's huge, very extensive. When did you first start? It's been a long-term thing. When did you first start doing studio work?
About 15 years ago. About 40, 15 years ago. Wow. In London, I had a little studio up in the centre of town, centre of London. Basically just practiced on the public, which is the best way to learn, really.
Yeah.
Just go down to the toilet with a manual and pretend they're the best.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
So a lot of reading, studying, and...
No, not at all. You
know, no?
No, just practicing with people.
Hands-on, yeah.
Yeah, people used to come in and pay money for just to come in with all their demos and stuff like that, and basically didn't have a clue how to use any of it, so the best way to learn is to do it that way, really.
Yeah.
It's like being thrown in the deep end. I'm not very good with manuals.
Yeah.
Can't read for a start.
Yeah. Well, now you got it. So it's all, downhill, slow.
It's downhill
going.
From here. Yeah.
Not downhill. Downhill. All right, man. So how did you hook up with the Orb? Because I saw the first project you worked on was the Live 93. Was that the?
No, that was we did some mainly remixes and stuff before that.
Okay.
I had a studio in Fulham, in South London. Alex worked out before actually, and I just rebuilt it. And it was like a bit of a dream place, really, because I had everything I've always ever wanted in the studio. And me and Chris Thrash got on really well. And it was great. We didn't leave there for weeks. You know, didn't have a social life for years. It was great.
Yeah.
And we did a lot of stuff there. And then we did the Live 93. Some of the mixes there, edited it all out and stuff. And then, the next big thing we did there was the Fast Forward album, which was great. We all went for it. It was good fun.
And had you always been into electronic sounds? Or?
Yeah, because the little place that we had, I had originally up in the Barbican, wasn't really kitted up for doing acoustic stuff, so most of the stuff we had there was like when all the 808 and all that sort of stuff were coming out. And stuff like that, samples were just starting to happen.
Yeah.
So we used to do all our sampling on delay units, sampling stuff in the delay units and triggering it off and things like that. So that was then,
There's always a really heavy dub influence in the music. Did that come through just by being around? I know in London there's a large community where they listen to dub and reggae.
Yeah.
That definitely comes through in your music. Is that kind of a natural thing? How did that influence come in?
Yeah, I guess it is a natural thing. It's just, opposite to what you were listening to the night before. So, I mean, Alex comes and plays a lot of good stuff and you know, get off on that, which is great.
What kind of things do you find yourself usually listening to? What type of music? You know, if you're at home chilling out, you know, what type of records do you...
I don't know, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, I don't know. I've got a setup at home, so a lot of the time I just sit there and do my own thing, really. I tend to find if I listen to a lot of other people's stuff, I end up getting, you know, sounding, what I'm doing next, like sounding like it, which is like, which is hard. You end up fighting to not sound like it. I'd rather just do something that feels good rather than, you know, I'll go out and listen to stuff, but sitting at home, I don't know, it's hard to say, really. I've never really thought about it.
Yeah.
I'll come back in half an hour, I'll have a think about it.
Yeah. It's better, you know, keep it out of mind. Until people like me interview you and ask you these questions, and then it starts haunting you, and you think about it.
I know, you start analysing your life, and you start getting really freaked out. You go, oh my God, is that really what I do?
It's a government experiment, actually.
Yeah, I know, it's a conspiracy again.
Nice. And you've worked with Galeano as well.
Yeah.
Done some work, Galeano.
Yeah, that was good, Galeano.
Yeah.
That was great fun. Yeah, we used to set up in kitchens and stuff like that.
And
do all of that stuff. And that was good. That was good. Nice. Yeah, it was just a lot of people I knew. I mean, I knew all the guys from the band. I mean, a lot of stuff I do is because I tend to get on with the people first.
Yeah.
And then and then go and work with them rather than, you know, going out and getting jobs sort of thing.
Yes, it's important to like the people you work with. Otherwise, it makes it rather miserable. So. Were you surprised with the level of popularity that the Orb reached when that started happening? I mean, many consider the Orb to be the largest electronic group in the world, the most popular electronic group around. I mean, it's been around for a while.
Well, I think it was because it was so good and there was nothing else around. I mean, you know, so that's a hard one to answer without making it sound either bulletin in the Orb or... I think it was a really good thing. I think it was a brilliant thing for when it happened. And it was, you know, it was a really great thing of right time, right place. And and it was just everybody was really into it. And it was a natural thing. And I think things that are forced tend to not last as long as they ought.
I think
it was great.
That's cool. So what do you guys now do you focus, like the music we heard today, is that all solo work that you've done?
Yeah, I mean, it was basically just someone to come out and you know, so I got quite a few friends over here who run clubs, and they would just like, would you fancy coming out and doing some stuff? And I wanted to do something live, and to bring equipment out over here obviously costs a lot of money, and a lot of the stuff that I've got you can't get here. So I couldn't carry a hell of a lot of stuff, so I had to try and write a set or something that you could do on the equipment I had. So it's just the way it turned out, really.
Yeah.
It worked out that way, rather than actually sitting down, you know, because, I mean, people would just go out and play CDs and whatever, and or just, you know, put everything onto DAT or something and just hit play and you can get away with it that way. But I've got, you know, it is live. I've got enough stuff there to change it every time I play and stuff, which is great. And that's the whole thing about when we do the live stuff for the Orb, is, you know, we had enough flexibility to be able to change it for every gig. And that's why I enjoy doing it. Thanks God I had the chance to do it.
Plus, after being in the studio for, you know, a year, you want to actually go outside and see some people.
Phil's with us, he's been working with the band for years, and he's got himself a set up at home as well now, and he's had that for a couple of years, and he's really learned how to use it, and I've got a pretty similar setup. And we've been setting up in people's backyards out here and actually writing stuff outside and really, you know, spending days and just doing that. So we've been writing it and then going and doing clubs at night and actually playing it the morning, you know, the night we've written it. Which is great. It's really good fun, though.
See, that's the testing ground.
Experimenting. It's good getting a reaction as well from it. It's just, that's why it was hard putting stuff in here, because everyone's just standing there looking at you and they're just going, what? What?
It's like, wrong, you know, an aquarium or something, you know.
Yeah. I felt like I was drowning a couple of times.
Yeah. Everybody throws food, though, every once in a while.
Throw
some more flakes that kind of float down from the surface.
Yeah, I know a few flakes.
We've got about four or five here. So do you any future projects, anything you're working on that you're really excited about?
I don't want to say too much there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interest in doing film work, so I've got
cool.
things
nice.
coming up. and so I've got quite a lot of friends here now, so there's a lot of bits and pieces happening with various people. And,
yeah.
I'm just meeting up with people. As, you know, I've met a few good DJs and stuff out here, but you know, there's a party on Saturday night, I can't remember where it is, and there's a guy that, this guy Christopher, is a great DJ, and he's going to be playing over the top of what we're doing. And we're just going to try and, you know, we'll extend the set right out and yeah. have a really long set and have a good time with it. And I've got a lot of stuff set up so I can just jam as well, which would be great fun. That would be nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
Why the hell am I doing it?
If something goes wrong, you know, it's live. It doesn't matter. You know, you can...
Well, that's the excitement of it. Yeah. Once it's done, it's gone, isn't it? Stop looking at me. What?
Nice. Cool. Well, anything you want the world to know, you know... Andy Hughes, any words, any messages for the world?
Oh, none about messages. I'm not going to be doing anything else with you all.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm finished with that now. So
yeah, moving on.
And it, you know, it's just the right time to do that. I'm not sure what's going on with that. We spent a lot of time waiting for the album to come out. So.
Yeah. Is there the new album that is coming out? Is that something you worked on?
Yeah, well, we finished about at the end of 98, but I think it's been changed a lot since then. Because obviously 2 years ago is 2 years ago.
Things have changed.
And, you know, whatever, I don't know, I'm not sure what's going on with it. So.
Yeah.
Interesting to hear it, actually.
Cool. Any names or anything, pseudonyms that you use in production?
Not yet, because it was such a short set thing. It was like, I think we got it together in about 2 weeks to come out. It was really fun. We're thinking about FU2.
FU2. There you go. That's like a license plate, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah. We're going to put it on the front end. Fluorescent letters. FU2.
FU2.
Or the Grin Reefer.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. I definitely appreciate it, man. And, you know, keep us updated. I'm sure people will keep their eyes out, you know, for future music and check it out. So
we're going to try and get something going over here as a release. So, you know, just going to, once we've played it out live, we'll go back to London and sit in the studio and mix it down and get something together and put it out.
Nice.
See what happens.
Yeah,
it's the tin, and let it run out and see.
Tense waiting moments.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, definitely appreciate it, Andy. And you know, next time you're in town, we'll have you down again. We'll hear the next step, the evolution.
Yeah. See what happens and sit and analyze it.
Yeah. More and more and more and more and more and more. Fantastic. This is Dub Lab. You tuned in. We've had Andy Hughes here in the studio. And definitely stay tuned. A lot more coming up the rest of the evening. Check it out. Dub Lab.
In Conversation was produced by Dub Lab, a nonprofit radio station broadcasting live from Los Angeles since 1999. Sound editing and theme song by Matea Bain. For more programming, visit dublab.com. And thank you for listening.